Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Sheerlux Highlights podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined remotely, of course, by Lou Huff, Heather Steele, and special guest India Semi. India is a friend of Sheerlux. She is the brains behind the India Edit on Instagram and the IndiaEdit.com, her lifestyle blog, and also the Mirror Edit, where she documents her daily outfits. Welcome, India. It's so lovely to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to join you guys today.
How are you finding lockdown so far?
I must say, outside of the kind of obvious negative sides, I have been enjoying it. I've just had my boyfriend move in, so we've been enjoying having his time at home to kind of sort everything out, spruce it all up, divide up the wardrobe space, and have a lot more time to focus on my blog as well, which has been fun. And I do think that the weather is having such a big impact on making the whole experience a lot more bearable.
And you've got that fabulous roof terrace, which I'm sure we will come on to, because we're going to talk about entertaining later, but I have been very jealous looking at your Instagrams of your little sun trap up there.
Oh yes, we are very, very lucky with that. Incredibly grateful to have outdoor space, and it gets the sun into the evening, so very spoiled.
The dream. What has everybody been watching, listening to, doing this week, Heather?
So this started on Sky Atlantic / Now TV a few weeks ago. I think everyone's been talking about it generally. But yeah, I watched all of Gangs of London last week, which is a new drama, which some people are kind of describing as Peaky Blinders, but way more violent. So it's focused on these sort of six or seven different gangs in London, hence the name. And the sort of henchman of all of them gets killed right at the beginning. And then it's about his son who's sort of seeking vengeance throughout the 8 episodes.
Is it based on real life?
No, it's not. I mean, I'm sure there's definitely elements of the criminal underworld that play out during it. But it's basically been making a lot of headlines. A, it's really good. It's like really well acted. But also it's incredibly violent and gory. It's one of those weird things. Once you've seen a few episodes, you do become desensitized to it. And the director, Gareth Evans, is Welsh, but his first forays in filmmaking were in Indonesian martial arts films. So it's weird, but he's now doing this. But all the fight scenes, once you get over the initial goriness, you can see they're really amazingly choreographed. It's just amazing to watch, like the way he films it and the way everyone is moving while sort of slashing each other. It's actually quite incredible and beautiful to watch, even though it's horribly violent. So once you get past that initial shock factor, I think, yeah, stick with it if you're a bit squeamish, because it's got a really good plot line. And yeah, it's gripping.
And so is it quite cinematic throughout?
Yeah, I'd say so. There's lots of like sweeping shots of London as well. And, you know, if you like Peaky Blinders, it's not got any sort of Cillian Murphy lookalikes in, unfortunately, but it has got Joe Cole, who was in Peaky Blinders as well for the first 3 or 4 series. So, yeah, I would certainly say give it a watch and don't be put off. The first episode has got some of the goriest stuff in, but if you can kind of get past that, definitely give it a go.
I'm not great with guts and gore. What about you guys?
No, not so much. On that note, though, I have been watching Killing Eve, which I spend half the episodes with my hands over my eyes. But
so
I do
gory.
Love the fashion and the stories in that. But I don't know, Heather, if I'd be able to stomach that program.
It's very good, I promise. And then another thing, a quick shout out to, it's on Netflix, it's only 6 half-hour episodes. It's a Belgian thriller called Into the Night, which is all set on one plane with one set of passengers. And yeah, it's in French, but it's not sci-fi. I don't really know what it is, but basically the sun or daylight is killing people. So these people have to get on a plane and just keep flying and flying and flying and flying to avoid sunrise in any part of the world. And then each of the sort of 10 characters has all got a horrible backstory about why they're on the plane to Moscow in the first place. It all unravels quite quickly. But basically, if you're after a sort of, we watched it all on Saturday night, it was like a nice 6-parter, really gripping. I would definitely recommend it.
Cool. That sounds really good.
Worth a watch.
Lou, what about you? What have you been watching, listening listening to?
So last week we finally watched The Gentlemen. I don't know if anyone has seen that yet.
I kept meaning to at the time when it came out, but I haven't seen it.
So for those that don't know, it was the new Guy Ritchie film which came out, I think it was in January.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a real classic Guy Ritchie. It's quite like Snatch and Lock, Stock. It's kind of gangsters in inverted commas. It's got a stellar lineup. So Matthew McConaughey plays the lead. Hugh Grant plays a completely different character. He's like a proper Cockney London reporter. And it's worth it just to see him play something completely different.
I was going to say, I've heard from lots of people and reviewers that they didn't love the film, but it's worth watching just for Hugh Grant. And yeah, he's amazing in it.
Is he better in it than he is in Paddington 2?
Do you know, I'd say actually they're top two performances. Actually.
Top two, Hugh Grant.
It's like, I don't know, he's just suddenly got to the stage of his life and he's like, yeah, I'm going to actually flex my acting skills.
It's like he's just gone fuck it and has just decided to do something completely different, but it's brilliant. It's working for him, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really, really good. Charlie Hunnam's also in it. Colin Farrell, who's incredible. I don't know, the first like 20 minutes, I was like, oh, I'm not sure, I can't quite understand the lingo quite so much, but it's really funny and I just really enjoyed it, actually.
Is it a comedy?
Yeah. Matthew McConaughey has a sort of a cannabis farm, which he stores within the houses of kind of old country estates, sort of in their grounds like that. And Hugh Grant, the reporter, is sort of trying to wangle a story out of him and the sort of the goings on of kind of behind the scenes. So yeah, it's really fun. So I recommend it if you're looking for something a little bit different.
Apparently Hugh Grant and Matthew McConaughey forged a very strong friendship during the film.
Yeah,
and love that.
And a brilliant Graham Norton episode where he has both of them on. So if you want a little bit more,
feel the bromance across all of them. And like Charlie Hunnam as well. It's just so cool.
I love that.
Right. And do you know who's also amazing in it is Michelle Dockery.
Who
I only know of Downton Abbey fame. So again, she's playing a completely different role. So good one to watch. And then the other thing we've been watching is Celebrity SAS.
Lou, I've been watching it too. Oh, yeah. And I am obsessed.
It's so good, isn't it?
It's so good. I love it.
It's 12 celebrities that essentially go on a really intense 8-day SAS sort of training course. And there's 5 instructors who basically really put them through. It's kind of mental perseverance and kind of putting your body through everything. And they really, really shout at them, and there's kind of no stone left unturned. But anyway, Katie Price is in it, Brendan Cole's in it,
Joey Essex.
Also, it's just interesting to see them not as a celebrity. Like Joey Essex, for example, I've never seen him not really sort of performing to the camera or being silly or saying sort of stupid remarks, and he actually comes across really well.
He really does.
And it's a completely different side to him. So yeah, they've got them essentially in sort of tough combat training as they would general SAS team members. So yeah, it's really interesting. Actually, it makes you think, I guess, kind of how would you fare in that situation.
I know.
At any point they can pull out, so I guess at which point they say no to it all.
Sorry. Is that how it works? They get booted out?
They can do if they deem that they're not very good. They can get booted out even if they don't want to.
Yeah, the one I watched last night though, they had to jump backwards out of a helicopter, so they're over a lake and they just kind of put their, almost like go into like a pencil, put their arms across their chest and just fall backwards
into this freezing cold lake
there in Scotland, and then swim 200 meters to shore. It just makes you think, I guess, like, yeah, how would you fare? What would it bring out in you?
When I was 16, I did 5 days with the Israeli army on a program called Gudna, which basically is what Israeli teenagers go on. I mean, it's like a summer camp version of the Israeli army, but you go in order to, like, you know, there's conscription in Israel for those who don't know, so it's like their kind of 5-day training when they're 16 to kind of get an idea of what it's going to be like. I basically cried for 5 days solid. But when you were describing it, I was imagining that, which was, I mean, like, it was summer camp. But I was not imagining jumping backwards out of a helicopter. We did not do that. Oh, yeah. So that sounds pretty intense.
Yeah, it took me back to my CCF training days for sure.
Yeah, just like that. Cool, that sounds good. What, is it on Channel 4?
Yeah, it's on Channel 4. Yeah, I think there's quite a few episodes now available on Catch Up. So it's a good one to binge.
India, what have you been watching, listening to? All of the above.
So there are lots of things that I want to watch. I'm very keen to watch Hollywood, the new Netflix series. I think it may have been discussed here. Little Women, I've seen, has come out on Amazon Prime, and I missed that in the cinema. So that's very much
on my
list.
Oh, you didn't see it?
No.
Oh, it's so heavenly.
I basically missed out on all of my friends and family going, and then didn't really have anyone to go with. Couldn't force James to come with me at the time. So
yeah,
I think it'll be a bank holiday one for me to watch.
It's so to that. Good.
So I've been doing a little bit of reading. Live Beautiful by Athena Calderon.
I'm obsessed with her.
Yeah, she's just everything, isn't she?
Totally.
She's amazing.
She's brought out this beautiful coffee table book called Live Beautiful, which follows on from a recipe book that she did a few years ago called Eat Beautiful. And each page is just filled with stunning interiors and amazing, very accessible interiors tips. I think, Charlotte, you mentioned her podcast previously. So many of the people that she interviewed in the podcast are actually featured in the book. So people like Jenna Lyons. So that's actually been a really fun one to read, especially as I'm hoping to spruce up my flat a bit. So I do recommend that as well if you're into interiors.
The book, I believe, goes around different, like, as you say, friends or stylish people, tastemakers' homes, and takes tips from them, right?
Yes, exactly. I mean, she has a very kind of tasteful and stylish and wealthy set of friends. So lots of interiors envy there. And then,
I think if I had to pick one home on Instagram that is like the best home, I think it's hers.
100%.
It is so stunning. Yes, Heather, exactly. There you go. There's one for you to follow. Now you're back.
Yay. Give her a follow. Definitely. So she's at iSwoon on Instagram, and the book is called Live Beautiful. And then also, I think I saw in Tor's vlog last week that a piece with Roxy Nafuzi is going live this week, I think. So Roxy she's like a self-help influencer. She's very into fitness and healthy living, and she actually launched a podcast a couple of months back called The Moments That Made Me, which is all about interviewing her friends and celebrities about moments in their lives that may have been perceived as failure or something really challenging at the time, and how that's kind of helped form life lessons and, you know, put them on a different path. And the season finale, which is probably the episode I enjoyed the most, is one of her friends actually interviewing her. And she's had a fascinating life. She used to date Damien Hirst, who is about 25 years her senior. And it's very interesting and very honest as well. So that's a good one to listen to.
Cool. I love that. She used to be on my radar like years and years ago as a kind of party girl on Instagram, but she's done a bit of 180, hasn't she?
Exactly. And she talks a lot about that. So if you like hearing all of the juicy secrets about someone's life, then that's a good one to listen to.
Definitely. And Damien Hirst, fascinating as well.
Exactly.
Cool.
She never really put that in the press before. I think this is the first time that she's ever talked about it. So particularly fascinating, that one.
Yeah. I also, on the kind of podcast sort of front, podcast and books front, I have been on a bit of a Louis Theroux binge over the last few weeks. He has a book out called Gotta Get Through This. Good of him. He has finally written a memoir, an autobiography, and I actually listened to it on Audible because I was getting a bit distressed at the beginning of lockdown, or for the first few weeks, because I was finding I just wasn't having time to read in the way that everybody else seems to, but Audible has solved that for me. It basically covers everything that you would hope it will cover, and also if you're our age group, I think unless you're like a real kind of Louis Theroux addict, there are things that you will kind of remember but not in much detail. So for example, he made that documentary with the Hamiltons, with Christine and Neil Hamilton, which just at the point at which they were accused of rape, which I don't know about you guys, but that kind of is somewhere in the back of like the recesses of my brain, but I didn't know the details of. He talks about extensively about Jimmy Savile. It sort of feels like he felt like enough was enough and it was time for him to kind of put his version of Jimmy Savile's story out there. For those who aren't really familiar with the story, he made a documentary with Jimmy Savile about a decade before he passed away, and obviously all the revelations about him came out at the point at which he died, or after he died. So Louis Theroux therefore faced a huge amount of criticism and kind of skepticism at that point, because people said, well, you spent an intense, whatever it was, month or so making a documentary with him. How could you not have known? Surely you had known about his terrible, whatever you want to call them, deviations, awful acts. Anyway, about just quite what an awful person he was. So this, you could really feel like this is him taking the opportunity to put his side across, to tell his story. But he talks really honestly about how, you know, the point at which all of that emerged, how he felt really kind of a mix of embarrassment, shame for actually having quite liked Jimmy and not having noticed things. And it's a really honest look at what happened there. But then you also get to hear how he made his start. He worked for Michael Moore for a few years in New York, which I didn't know. So he's got a pretty good documentary pedigree there. And then the other thing that I've been listening to is Louis Theroux's new podcast series in the wake of lockdown. He has started a new podcast called Grounded with Louis Theroux through BBC Radio 4. And he basically has interviewed people who he's always wanted to interview. And he kind of pitches it as, these people have, you know, always evaded me in the past, but now they've got no excuse because they're stuck at home. So there's been four so far. They include Helena Bonham Carter, which is brilliant. She talks really honestly about her divorce, about her experiences in Hollywood. And then this morning I listened to Lenny Henry as well, which was also brilliant. And he talks a lot about diversity and race issues in the comedy industry, in media. So they're all just really interesting, if you're looking for a kind of a good way to kill an hour, interviews with some big names. So I highly recommend. Let's talk about cocktails. We wrote a feature on 9 great cocktails to make at home. Heather, I felt very inspired after your vlog as well. You on Tobe's homemade Negronis. So I want to know, what are you guys drinking? Are you drinking more cocktails at home because of lockdown? I know I definitely am. India, are you a cocktail girl?
Yes, I definitely am. I think at home they always felt more challenging, and so I kind of shied away from them. But having more time, definitely been experimenting a bit more. I got very into my margaritas over the last kind of 6 months. So I've been starting to make those at home. I actually used, a margarita is pretty simple, but I went to Laura Jackson's Host Post to get my margarita recipe. So it's basically equal parts Cointreau, lime and tequila. And then I actually just use my Nutribullet to blitz it up. So in some ice, don't have a cocktail shaker, not quite as sophisticated as that yet. And then just put it through a sieve. So that's been working quite nicely. Sometimes I add a bit of passion fruit syrup, a bit of chili. So I've been doing that. And then
love that. Can I ask re-chili? Because I would like to do this, but I'm scared too. I will talk about my margarita recipe in a moment. But what do you do? Do you just add some seeds? Like, how do you know whether it's too spicy or not?
It's a good question. I have just been adding some chili flakes and then kind of seeing what happens. And then they just go into tiny little pieces when you put them through a Nutribullet. This is very much kind of home cocktail making. And then other than that, love an Aperol spritz, very kind of basic, but I figured the trick to that, if you're just one person drinking them, is to get mini Prosecco bottles and mini soda waters, and that makes perfectly 2 Aperol spritzes. Obviously you need Aperol, but that works perfectly as well. And then for a cheat cocktail, a couple of great brands. So this brand called Canned Tales, which is a new canned cocktail brand, they sent me some last week and they're actually delicious. I usually shy away from canned cocktails from supermarkets because they're often too sweet or too fizzy, but these are actually kind of all naturally flavored, loads of great options. So my favorites were the Gin Paloma, there's a Berry Mule Mojitos, kind of all the classics. So if you can't be bothered to get your cocktail shaker or Nutribullet out, then they're a great one that you just pop in the fridge. Quite fun if you're going on picnics and things as well.
Do you know where you can get them?
So I think you can just order them directly from the website at the moment. Last time I checked, they were like £2 a can. So also that's very decent. Affordable.
Yeah. Cheap for a cocktail.
Yeah, exactly. And then on Friday, I actually got a Zoom cocktail drinks with Tor and family.
Cute. And for those who don't know, we should say, yes. India, your boyfriend is Tor's brother.
Exactly.
We're keeping it in the family.
Exactly. So we're actually all having a Zoom drinks, and I'm sure she can report back. So we've all ordered cocktails from the cocktail delivery company, which they send you fruit in like vacuum packs and all the ingredients that you need. So I don't know if anyone's tried that yet, but quite excited for that one.
So how does it work? So do you all choose one cocktail, or can everybody have their own version?
So each bottle, which is about £25 or £30, serves like 6 to 7 drinks. So James and I have actually decided on the same cocktail because we didn't want to go for 14 cocktails to have in one evening. So I just sent him my shortlist and he's decided. I think we're going to have Cosmopolitans. So we'll be having that on Friday.
And I love that.
Yeah, it's quite a nice idea. And I think it's next day delivery as well.
Heather, what about you? You obviously are our resident cocktail girl. So what have you been making? Tell everybody your top Negroni tips for those who haven't seen your vlog, even though everybody should have.
I suppose what we're doing, we're not using like our favourite gins for them because you're obviously mixing it up. But yeah, the thing to invest in is Cocchi Vermouth. So it's like a really nice Italian vermouth. And I'm just looking now and on the Whiskey Exchange, it's $19.95. It's on special offer at the moment. But it's basically this delicious, delicious vermouth, which actually me and my boyfriend have just been having with ice over the weekend.
I really need that because I've been making my DIY martinis with martini, which is so rank. It's so rank. I really need a good vermouth.
Really sweet. But we've been using martini do make a vermouth as well. So in the vlog, that's what we were using then. But
maybe it works better with other ingredients that have flavour, whereas if it's just with vodka, it's
probably not. Yeah, with Negronis, it's traditionally gin, but you can use vodka vodka as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you obviously need the Campari to give it that real dryness. And yeah, I think making like bartenders do and just adding, you know, a bit of orange peel really makes a difference. And yeah, again, a game changer for any cocktail or G&T or anything like that is just getting those massive ice cubes and just putting one in so that it doesn't melt and dilute your lovely drink.
Yes, for those who haven't seen Becky's vlog, she had a really good ice tray that makes those big circular ice cubes.
And what's so cool about them is that you put something in them. So you put like your mint or whatever, so you can sort of flavour your ice cubes, which is
such a good idea. I mean, you could do it with any ice cube, couldn't you? But it's a really good idea.
It's a great tip. So yeah, that's, to be honest, we've been having the odd Negroni and like I say, the vermouth and ice, because it's only 17%, so you feel like you've got a decent, you know, strong drink, but it's actually not that strong at all. And then we have also in the week now started drinking Big Drop beer, which is this non-alcoholic beer brand. We did Dry January, but we were still going to the pub and we were trying all sorts of these sort of no and low beers, and Big Drop is the one where
that's the recommended one.
It actually tastes like a nice IPA, so yeah, we've been having a few of those in the week just to still feel like it's the end of the working day, let's have a drink, but obviously just not hitting the wine every night or whatever.
And where can one buy that from?
So we've bought it directly from them, because we also tried a few of the other ones that they've got as well, but we've decided that their classic Citra IPA is the one to go for.
Nice. Sounds delicious. Lou, are you a cocktail girl?
So controversial. I never really used to be into cocktails. I would always opt for wine or bubbles or like a Bellini, but I don't think a Bellini counts as a cocktail. And then at Christmas, my boyfriend's sister and her husband came to stay with us, and we had a cocktail evening, and they sort of, we made, I think, four or five different gin cocktails, and it completely changed my mind about it. Anything with that sort of gin and ginger, I think that's like the way to my palate. But it's made us be like, right, okay, now we need to invest in some proper cocktail making equipment, because we literally don't have anything. We don't really have any spirits around the house. As I said, we're just really wine fans. So I'm feeling inspired by all the sort of cocktail chat going on now. So I think we need to rethink our beverage choices.
India and Heather, what do you think are the key things that you need? India, you don't have a shaker, so that's so proof that you don't need that.
I know.
But what I think a measuring cup, like a shot measuring cup, is pretty essential.
Jigger, yeah, that's one thing that I actually bought at the beginning of lockdown, once we were like, oh, okay, because we were using like egg cups and stuff, like, oh, I think that's about right, but
sloshing it in,
oh, that'll do. I think if you want to make like a cocktail that is mainly sort of spirit based, like a Negroni or a Manhattan or anything like that, you need to get the measurements exact so that you've got like the right combination, I'd say. And they're so cheap as well, you don't need to get an expensive one. It's
I spent £4 on John Lewis or something.
Exactly.
Yeah,
definitely. I think ice as well is definitely
ice. Nothing worse than a warm cocktail.
It's like pre-drinks
as well.
You do need, I agree with you.
Totally.
A cut glass really makes anything. I mean, I put my Diet Coke in it, but it really does make anything taste better.
We inherited some beautiful cut glass from my grandparents, and it just feels so special. As you said, anything you put in there, I don't know, just it makes it feel so much more of occasion, I guess, having a drink like that.
Yeah, I love cut glass wine glasses, but Ben really hates them, which really upsets me, because I would have a whole roster of cut glass if it was down to me. India, I've also been on a bit of a margarita hype at the moment. We have a bottle of Casamigos tequila.
Which tequilas is everyone using? Because I don't I hate tequila, but I've started to quite like it.
Yeah, I mean, I like good tequila. Like, it kind of goes without saying. Yeah. I mean, Patron does the job as well. But yeah, so we've been using Casamigos, which some friends actually brought us. I don't actually know if you can buy it in the UK. They came
over
from the States.
You can. It's quite a recent thing, but you can buy it from their website.
Fab. Okay, that's good to know. So yeah, because some friends from the States brought it over to us a few years ago, and I've really been saving it and waiting for it's like a dark brown tequila. It's like a good tequila, but you know, I think now is as good a time as any. I don't know about you guys, but I'm using stuff that I've been like, in inverted commas, saving for a really long time. Yeah, I've literally just been using that, a shitload of lime and agave syrup, because it's just cheaper
Cointreau
than going in Cointreau. Yeah, exactly. And it really works. So, and again, I do have a cocktail shaker, actually. Kindly a botanist heard me talking on the podcast that. How I was using my Nutribullet shaker for cocktails. So they kindly sent me a lovely set. And there's something really lovely about at 6 o'clock, kind of shutting your laptop and getting out all this equipment, you know, cutting the fresh lime and just giving everything a little shake. It does feel, I don't know, more of an occasion than just like pouring another glass of wine, which makes me feel a bit another one.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is my cocktail. I think the other thing, and another tip, which I know Georgie swears by as well, is flavoured tonics. We are keeping ourselves really well stocked with the elderflower Fever Tree, and that with a bit of gin and some mint and cucumber is about as refreshing as it gets.
I really like the Mediterranean one, and then you can pop an olive in as well in the G&T. That's my more my thing than elderflower.
Yeah, if you don't want sweet. Also, Sipsmith, I think, do that with like thyme or basil. Yeah. You can put a whole load of non-sweet things in as well, can't you?
Yes.
So good. Another little trick, if you have some nice vermouth around, it's really nice in a glass of Prosecco. So kind of like a Bellini, but not. I love doing that as well.
I could get on board with that because I don't really like Prosecco because it's quite sweet, but that sounds like it would add a nice sort of...
Exactly. And it makes it a nice kind of dark colour. Just makes it look a little bit more special. So yeah, that's a good trick too.
Good tip. Well, if that has whet your appetite to get cocktail making at home, then do have a look at the piece on the site for more ideas.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's talk about how to throw a virtual dinner party. We don't wish to harp on too much about our current situation, but obviously dinner parties are not taking place in quite the same way anymore, are they? So we asked a group of entertaining experts how to still feel like you are having your friends over, entertaining in some way, even in these lockdown conditions. So they have shared a load of their tips, but I want to know, what are you guys doing to, we're calling it make a meal of it, aren't we? That is, India, you mentioned Laura Jackson and her host post earlier. She has championed the hashtag make a meal of it, basically encouraging people to still feel like they're kind of throwing a dinner party, making an effort, even they were in lockdown. So what have you guys been doing to hashtag make a meal of it?
So I have been absolutely loving making a meal of my weekend dinners or lunches. So as you mentioned earlier, Charlotte, I'm very lucky to have an outdoor terrace. So I've been making beautiful tablescapes there. I actually ran a few supper clubs in the last couple of years, which is very time consuming for very little reward, but taught me a thing or two about making food look beautiful and making a table look beautiful. So what I've been doing is just adding lots of flowers or even dried grasses. I've got a lot of those around my house. If you don't have any flowers to hand, they're a great one to invest in. So just sprucing up the table with some of those. I love lots of little glass bottles or glass vases as well, just to make the table look a little bit more exciting than usual.
Where do you get your little glass bottles from? I feel like that's a question we get asked a lot.
Definitely. So some of them I picked up from random places like Petersham Nurseries and those kind of garden centery homeware places. Also wedding shops. There's like a website called like The Wedding Company or something where I got little ones. They're like £2 each, and just keep them stocked with flowers as much as I can, or dried grasses, as I said. So there are lots of little places you can get dried grasses. I'd recommend a place called The Little Deer. They're quite a good one online, and lots on Etsy, etc. So all of
also
those.
Also just little jam jars as well. It's so useful. Yeah. Like often I find when you've got a big vase on the table, it's always in the way because you can't see the person opposite you, or it just sort of gets out. So it gets out of hand. So a a little jam jar is perfect as well for it.
You can also put dinner candles in those jars. Mm. Like I've got one of those kind of little apothecary jars, which I get from Etsy. And yeah, you can kind of shove your dinner candles into those and mix them with flowers and stuff as well.
Yeah, definitely. So I think exactly what you're saying, Lou, it's nice just to have lots of little bunches so it's not obscuring your view and you can kind of scatter your food amongst the vases. I think just having a nice tablecloth, that does make a huge difference and just kind of feels like you're eating in a different place. And fabric napkins, I feel like such a teenager saying this, but having fabric napkins is such a game changer. So some pretty linen ones or some nice kind of patterned ones, obviously you can get these from like Anthropology, H&M, etc. But those do kind of change up the vibe of a meal as well, I feel.
And also a cute placemat that sort of goes in line with the napkins. We've got a piece running on the site later this week on some gorgeous, gorgeous placemats.
I'm really excited about that.
I know, these excite me too, Heather. We ran a feature last week on trays. Nice trays. Oh my God, I love it. I've gone back to it so many times. They were so gorgeous, those trays. Such interesting, just a good edit.
Elements, like, as well, like, you know, if you don't have a nice tablecloth, then a pretty tray with everything sort of on the side of it. Like, we've got a little marble circular, it's not even like a placemat, but like we basically put we put like the salt and pepper and oils and things on that, and literally just having that on the table suddenly makes it look so much more enticing.
It just feels really grown up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think just displaying your food in different ways, and like not even necessarily with the presentation of your table, like if you don't have all of those things around the house that you can just grab, then just making the food actually look beautiful and just cutting it up nicely, displaying it on boards, etc. That is such a nice little tip.
I was just thinking the boards thing, like we have some wooden chopping boards, and often when I have people come over, if I'm doing like a cauliflower or something, I'll serve it on a board. It's just a bit more restaurant-y and a bit more appealing than putting it on another John Lewis plate, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
We've been trying to just, rather than like serve up, even when it's just the two of us, rather than serve up straight away in a plate or a bowl, put it in like a nice serving dish and then put that on the table. And we've got a really beautiful sort of blue and white speckled bowl from Dalesford, and we just put like a big panzanella in that on the weekend and just plonk that on the table, and it just suddenly felt much more exciting than just like, here's your plate of food ready.
And summer I think lends itself so well to that food. Like obviously if you're having a roast, you can kind of put everything in different whatever bowls and plates or dispensers, but there's something about summer food. You know, you can make a salad and then you've got your protein, then you can do another salad, and it automatically lends itself more to a kind of tablescape, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Heather, what have you been cooking? I can imagine there's been some pretty tables going on just food-wise at your home.
Yeah, I haven't really been doing much of the whole tablescaping, kind of making it look nice yet, just because stuff's still in boxes, to be honest, at the moment. But I've been getting through Donna Hayes' Week Light cookbook, which came out at the start of the year, and it's just got so many really, really nice salads in and lots of things like that. So I've been, trying to make an effort with making those look good, I suppose. I've just been trying to cook things I haven't used, like, because when I was commuting, I wouldn't get home until 8:30 at the earliest. So I've just been trying to actually make more slightly elaborate things because I've now got the time to do so.
Can I also say, on the point of having exciting food, we got the Pizza Pilgrims frying pan pizza in the post.
Because they've been hard to come by, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, it took about 3 weeks to arrive, so it really kept us waiting. But when it was delivered, so it's literally like it comes in the post, and the box was wrapped in a lamb's wool blanket. And then it had these like ice packs within it. And basically, apparently the lamb's wool keeps the cold in. So it protects it. Anyway, but then you open up the box and then in it you have two like pre-made balls of dough and your tomato sauce, parmesan, mozzarella, basil and olive oil and a little bit of flour. And you basically, it's so easy to assemble it. You just kind of roll out your, not even roll out, you sort of with your hand, just push out your dough into a bit of a circle. Use your thumb to mark where you'd want the crust to be. Put it on your knuckles like they do in the pizza shops and sort of spin around a bit. And that was really professional. And then you just put it in the frying pan, which seems really odd to be like frying your pizza, but like no oil or anything. And then add your toppings, and then you put that under the grill for about 2 minutes. So the whole thing is cooked for about 4 minutes total. And it was absolutely amazing.
I've heard very good things about it. I really want one.
Yeah, Polly did it as well. It looks so delicious.
Yeah.
And presumably you could put your own toppings on it if you wanted to, right?
Yeah, completely. You do, you know, however, like controversially again, I don't like cheese on pizzas. So I had some grilled asparagus with mine. But it felt like a real treat to be able to have a sort of one of the best pizzas in London, I think, Pizza Pilgrims.
Yeah.
But to be able to making it yourself at home.
That's nice.
I love that. Completely genius. Agree on that note, Lou. We've been ordering nice things that you kind of finish at home, and it is such a treat to have that restaurant experience. Yes. But rather than getting like a soggy pizza or cold pasta, it's nice when you can get fresh kits.
I don't know about you guys, but I feel like takeaway places have really upped their game. Like, we've been getting takeaway from places where often things don't necessarily translate so well, so they'll arrive kind of a bit colder or a bit soggier, and I feel like everybody's suddenly, I mean, they have to, because definitely, they're relying on takeaways, right?
Yeah.
So suddenly everything is of a much higher standard, like, you know, piping hot pasta coming to our door or whatever, you know. Think last night we ordered from Oka, which is one of my favorite Japanese restaurants, and they do an avocado spring roll, which is always soggy when it arrives for takeaway, and it wasn't, it was beautiful.
Amazing. So,
India,
which restaurant or places have you been ordering from? A, because we've got a piece going later in the week, but also because I just love food and want to know what's good.
Yeah, amazing. So we've been ordering from a few places. One of my friends has actually been staying at her husband's family farm, so we've even been getting some like grass-fed beef from there. That's called Warson beef. That is absolutely delicious. I don't really eat meat, but I had a bite of James's, and that comes wrapped in lamb's wool, like you ordered, Lou. So if you're into really good beef, that's a great tip, and you can just make burger patties or you can get steaks, etc. And then a friend of mine who owns a restaurant in East London called Crispin, it's kind of like an all-day cafe and restaurant, and they do amazing daily changing menu, and they've actually, as of this week, launched delivery meal kits, and they're not just doing London delivery, they're doing nationwide. So I think that's quite special, because you could, you know, if your parents are living somewhere else or you've got family in other places in the UK, you could all order the same thing and have kind of a virtual dinner party, eating the same meal, which I've just texted my family about it this morning to ask if they want to do that. And then we've also been getting deliveries from places like Bocca di Lupo. They're now doing delivery at home. Lots of Italian.
As our Lena stores as well.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, it's all Lena.
Artusi in Southwest London, and even Gelupo, which is some of the best ice cream in London, which I can never be bothered to stand in a 45-minute queue for. They're doing delivery. So we've got about
is that the one you love?
Delivered.
Yeah, Artusi is the one we love.
So yeah, I think just getting things that you can cook a little bit at home and give you that restaurant experience, but just a bit more special and a treat as well. We've been loving.
Lewis made homemade fish and chips on the weekend as well.
Yum.
That sounds incredible.
He's been following Gordon Ramsay's, like, a lot of top chefs are doing these live cook-alongs.
Yeah.
And Gordon Ramsay did a 10-minute fish and chip recipe. And I was like, no way is that going to take 10 minutes. And legit, it was. And it looked so professional. So he got some fresh cod from the fishmonger. And then it's a beer batter. So it's sort of flour, egg, half a beer, some baking powder, and then you sort of dip your fresh fish in the batter and then shallow fry that basically for a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
And then matchstick a Maris Piper potato, making them sort of really, really fine. And then once the fish is done, you then also shallow fry the chips in that oil as well.
And they cook.
So literally clever. Probably 4 minutes they're frying in there for, and it looks amazing.
Oh, wow. I'm going to do that. That sounds delicious. Yeah.
Okay, I'll send you the video, Charlotte. But yeah, please do. It's super, super simple. So yeah, it's very impressive.
Love that. We've completely moved away from the topic of virtual dinner parties. So if you do want more tips on throwing a virtual dinner party, or simply a bit of tablescaping and hashtag making a meal of it, then have a look at the feature on the site. India, we couldn't have you here and not talk about fashion. And since we've been talking about sort of entertaining from home, I thought we'd talk about date night fashion. We also ran a feature on site the other day with 4 great date night looks under £150. So I want to know, are you guys dressing up for date night, and what does that mean to you, India?
I say definitely yes. I think at home you definitely got to make a bit of an effort and just put on a bit of makeup, and it does feel a bit over the top, but I think it's worth it. I'll get James in a collared shirt and maybe put on some heeled sandals myself, and you can also wear shoes that are not very comfortable to wear outside, I've been finding.
That's
as well,
a good point,
because you're not going very far.
So I think
also, in addition to the outfit, with date night it is a lot about the vibe, so having like nice music, low lighting, etc. But I think having a whole wardrobe of clothes, it's fun to wear it. I mean, that's why we have clothes, to make ourselves feel good. And so I've definitely been dipping into that. And even if it's a Zoom call as well, I think just going a bit over the top, getting out of my trackies, etc., does just make me feel a lot better about myself as well.
Yeah, Lou and I talk about this a lot, because we don't feel like we're kind of traditional, in inverted commas, like date night dressers. Like, I think often that means leather skinnies and a blouse or whatever. And I certainly wouldn't wear that around the home. But actually, we've been running a series on the Sheerluxe Instagram Instagram about like date night dressing. And I feel like that's really forced me. Thanks. It's forced me into thinking, what does, you know, again, in inverted commas, date night dressing mean to me, look like to me? Mm-hmm. And I've actually had way more fun now I've got into the swing of it, kind of, as you say, shopping a bit for my own wardrobe. Yeah, would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, as you say, Charlotte, I really struggle with traditional date night, because for me, kind of going out would be, I'd normally just add a blazer or some heels, and it would be very much casual, sort of jeans, heels and a nice top, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, it's generally a blazer that I default to. So I'm finding that harder now. So I would actually say I'm not dressing up so much in the evenings, but whereas previously when we were working in the office, I would find that, you know, I'm dressing up and Monday to Friday going to work. So on the weekends, I just want to be super cash, not worry about clothes, not think about what I'm putting on, and just kind of really be a bit, I guess, a bit more of a slob, I guess, in what I'm wearing. Whereas now it's completely switched, and I feel like Monday to Friday, I'm like in my comfies. But actually then on the weekend, I'm really enjoying making more of an effort and kind of putting on a pretty dress or a pretty blouse and just feeling a bit more like, oh, okay. So I don't know, I feel like I've shifted my attention to my weekend wardrobe rather than my Monday to Friday now.
Yeah, I agree with that as well, actually. And also it's quite nice, like, to be able to pick and choose, isn't it? So I messaged you this morning being like, oh my God, I've just put on makeup for the first time since Thursday and I've been amazing. Like, it's really nice having the option to kind of do both where and when. But Heather, you, I keep referring back to your vlog, but I loved the fact that you talked about there that you were kind of wearing your dresses and really making the most of them. Is that something you're still doing?
Yeah, I think because I just wear dresses all the time anyway, so it's just what I've got to hand. And B, yeah, I've just never, not that I have anything against it, but I've just never got into loungewear, so I just don't actually have anything like that to wear. But I do actually want to get some, but I just need to find, basically an all black set would be great.
I feel like you could rock a jumpsuit, Heather.
Not a jumpsuit,
a boiler suit. I was wearing my white denim boiler suit yesterday, and there was something so easy about just throwing one thing on, didn't even have a bra on, and it just felt so like
easy. Ooh, with denim.
Yeah, I was just thinking, ow.
Ooh, chafing, ow.
No problems there on my behalf.
No, I love boiler suits, but I just feel like they don't suit my body type, because I carry weight on my hips and in my middle, so I feel like with a boiler suit it's just gonna look so like,
you can just go really oversized one, like the one that Lou's referring to is a French, I assume it's still French Connection one, which I have as well, and I mean it's so large you could literally fit three people in there.
Okay,
so
yeah, that's definitely,
you could look for an oversized one.
That's more my vibe, yeah. I shall look into it, because when I see them on anyone else, I think they look really, really cool.
I can so see you in a black one, Heather. I'm going to find one for you.
Yeah, please do. That would be great. But no, in terms of date night, like, maybe I'm just a really bad girlfriend, but we haven't done anything like that at all. And also, we just don't in real life either. Like, if we go out for dinner or anything, it's usually because we've, like, been in the pub for a couple of hours and I can't be bothered to cook when we get home. So that's our kind of date vibe, is a few pints in the pub, which you don't have to get dressed up for, I'd suppose.
But you've got your red lippy on today, so there is still definitely some effort being made over there.
Yeah, when I did my vlog a few weeks ago, I hadn't worn makeup since I think like this, whenever, the day after we started all working from home. Wow. So, but I quite enjoy putting my makeup on this morning, actually. It feels more like a fun thing to do rather than a chore. So I might start doing it a bit more often, because something quite fun about it these days.
I have a real I'm a feminist but statement, which is I'm a feminist but I do start to feel bad for my husband after a few days of, like, you know, top knot, scrunchy glasses, no makeup, trackies. It's not from like a place of insecurity where I'm like, oh, he'll run off if I look like a slob, but I also do think it's nice for your husband or boyfriend or whatever to not only see you looking your worst. What do you think?
I know what you're saying, but also my boyfriend has claimed many times that he doesn't care, so that's his fault.
Yeah, mine does that too, but I don't buy it.
They all say that, but then I feel like they respond to you differently when you look better.
100%. Like, he'll say, oh, it doesn't matter, and then I'll come downstairs with a face of makeup, oh, you look so pretty today. It's like, well, yes, I'm wearing lots of makeup.
That's why,
But I also feel like I just don't really, maybe it does come from a place of insecurity, but I feel like for me, I need to look good as well, just to feel my best and feel like I can take on the world or whatever's being thrown at me that day. But yeah, with James, I am often like, are you sure that you love me?
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
I know. Yeah. I'm like, I feel like I'm kind of ugly duckling going into beautiful swan. I'm like, really? Right now? You still
don't you feel like
me?
It's nice having that? Don't you feel like it's nice having that transformation and almost like you deciding when you're comfortable being like, no, I just don't really want to make an effort today. I'm like happy. Yes. Just like being as I am, letting my skin breathe. Yeah. But I feel like I've got so much more used to my face without makeup.
I have 100%.
It's so weird you say that because I was genuinely thinking this morning, I wonder if I'll start doing like no makeup days to the office because, and also I feel like people have seen me now so much more without makeup on because I'm always, I've just kind of given up, you know, if I won't put makeup on just because I've got a Zoom call if it's internal or something now.
Yeah, same. So, no, not at all. And also I keep doing a Zoom quiz with a big group of friends every Sunday and like none of us, like men and women in on the call, but like none of the girls have been wearing makeup or anything at all. And it is just like quite refreshing to be like, well, this is my face. So
Totally. I was asked to send a video message to somebody the other day. They were celebrating something. And I only realized afterwards that I did it like completely bare face, which is something I would have never done before. But at this point, I'm like, oh, well, whatever. We all look a bit shit.
So I think it's really a good thing. I really do. Yeah. I think it'll be nice to like go back to making a bit more of an effort. But I think, it's definitely taken the focus off having to look perfect all the time.
Completely.
It's a good thing.
I do feel like because of my blog and Instagrams and whatever, I do have to make myself look nice on a regular basis. So.
But isn't it quite nice having the opportunity to do that? Like, as I say about it, doing the Instagrams, whatever, it's quite nice to be able to think, right, I'm going to go and shoot some content, so therefore I'm going to put on some makeup today.
It is definitely, but sometimes I do resent it a tiny bit, but then just don't show it in my face that day.
exactly. India, thank you so much for joining us. Do you want to give a little shout out to your blog and to your Instagram
accounts? I would love to. So I run a lifestyle blog and Instagram called The India Edit. So it's theindiaedit.com and at The India Edit on Instagram, covering everything from a lot of fashion, but also interiors, travel when I could do it, tablescaping, as we discussed, so lots of different types of content. And then I also run a daily outfit account called The Mirror Edit, which is 100% mirror selfies and what I'm actually wearing that day, so everything from kind of socks and slippers to more dressier items. So would absolutely love you guys to come and follow me there.
And you also joined us on Fashion Fix for a special 2 weeks ago.
Yes,
with your work from home outfits, which was fabulous. So if anyone hasn't seen that, check that out on our archive as well.
Yes, exactly. So it took you guys through 5 different outfits that are perfect for wearing at home. Everything from more casual to a date night look in there as well. So definitely have a look at that.
Yes, some seriously good inspo. So check out India on all her various platforms. India, what's coming up next? What can we wait to see? No more supper clubs, presumably for the future.
No more supper clubs.
Imminent future, but what's on the agenda?
So I'm working on some homewares content at the moment. So as I mentioned, we're going to be sprucing up our flat. So we've got lots of DIY to be doing and increasingly getting asked questions about where bits of homewares are from. So been creating a big homewares edit that will hopefully be going live this week. I think I'll be doing just a lot more fashion content, more collaborations with different fashion brands and just showing everyone, I guess, how they can really get the most out of their wardrobe and how to pair things they already have, as we discuss kind of shopping from your own wardrobe and just continuing hopefully to give some inspiration and more lighthearted and positive content in this crazy time.
Love that. I think we could do with a bit more of that. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Lou and Heather as well. If you have any feedback at all, please do email podcast@sheerluxe.com. We love hearing from you. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.